So here, Peter is actually quoting. This is an Old Testament quote that Peter is giving from David. David said almost the same thing back in Psalm 34. So let me read Peter again. Here's what Peter said. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. So here he's quoting from David. Listen to how similar David sounds back in Psalm 34, where David says, what man, in verse 12, Psalm 34, 12, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good and seek peace and ensue it, and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. So David says it in the Old Testament. Peter says it in the New Testament. These two men, David and Peter, are among the two most colorful characters in the Bible. And the Holy Spirit uses each of them to say something very similar to tell us about this wonderful truths. Well, you think of the age that David lived in, and then the age that Peter lived in. Very different ages, but that tells me that this truth is good for whatever age you're in. Boy, think of David. There were some positives in his life. Killed Goliath, the sweet psalmist of Israel, a man after God's own heart. There were some negatives, though, weren't there? He had his times of failure, his times where he experimented, so to speak, with alternate ways to find fulfillment in this life. Boy, David, he tried some different things, didn't he? And boy, his conclusion was, don't try those other things. If you want to love life and see good days, this is what you need to do. There's no alternate. This is what you need to do. We think of Peter as well. Peter, part of the inner circle, that special three that got to do those special things with Jesus. He walked on water with Jesus. He saw the dead raised to life. Thousands fed with just a little bit of food. He saw the blind receive their sight. The diseased cleansed and made whole. But he also had his negative moments, didn't he? He had his moments where he would speak before putting the brain in gear, still in neutral up here, but the brain was running. Boy, David, here in Psalm, where he talks about keep thy tongue from evil, thy lips from guile, depart from evil, do good, seek peace, and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Boy, David reminds us to take heed to our words. Keep your tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Boy, I wonder if, you know, in his life, David looked back and he would say, boy, there were some times where I ran my mouth and it was dishonoring to God. There in 1 Samuel 21 was a time where David was there with the Philistines, and he was running his mouth like he was a madman, pretending like he was crazy. I'll fix this situation. I'll be deceitful with my mouth. That wasn't good. There was the time where he was with Ahimelech. He was running from Saul, and Ahimelech was a priest. And he kind of shaded the story and told Ahimelech. And he wasn't entirely honest with Ahimelech. And Ahimelech helped him and boy, gave him some food and took care of some things. And later on, Saul had Ahimelech and many of those priests murdered because of David not really being forthright. And boy, David would say, you want to have good days? Make sure your mouth is honest, speaking no guile. That probably haunted him for the rest of his life. Take heed to your words and take heed to your ways. Depart from evil and do good, David says. Seek peace and pursue it. Looking back at his life, Boy, that time with Bathsheba, I pursued evil and not good. And that was one of the most miserable times of my life. It was awful. Don't do it. Those of you that would seek good, love life and seek many days, don't go after those evil things. Boy, he numbered his armies. He got in trouble for that as well. There in 2 Samuel 24. See how ready I am for war? I'm ready. See how powerful I am? Boy, David would say, no, seek peace. Seek peace. In the New Testament it says, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. David reminds us to take heed to our words and our ways, but also our works. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. God hears what we say and sees what we do, which is wonderful news if you're doing what you should. But if we're not doing what we should, it's not that great a news. But that doesn't change the facts. God does see and God does hear. Let that change the way you live. All right, so back to Peter. Let's jump back to the New Testament. Peter says, he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let's master that mouth. Let him eschew evil, let's detect those detours. And do good, let's fill up unfaithfulness. Let him seek peace and into it pursue peace. So let's get into those things. You ever ask somebody, how you doing? And they're like, living the dream. And I'm not sure there's always a touch of sarcasm in there, isn't there? It seems like there's always a touch of sarcasm. It's like, living the dream, just surviving. Just surviving, living the dream. Well, I don't want to just survive down here. How about you? I want to do more than survive down here. I want to be thriving. Oh, my God is so good to me. He's so good to me. And he lets me serve him. And there's nothing I'd rather be doing. I just love it. I can't get over the fact that he would save me and let me please him with my life. And he enables me to please him. Oh, it's so good to be yoked up with the Lord Jesus. Boy, there's so much suicide in this country. And even, Pastor Carter was with us this last week, and he does a lot with counseling. And even in churches are full of people that were saying, I'm tired of this life. I just want to be done. Churches! Saved people! I'm tired of this life. And I just want to be done. And that's not the way we should be living. Here, the Bible says, if you'll love life, let's pour ourselves into these things. Boy, nowadays, so much talk. It seems like you can't turn on the news for hardly a minute or two before hearing something about all the gender transitioning today. Boy, we live in a world that's not happy with who they are. Boy, I think I need to be somebody else. If I could just be somebody else, I could be happy. No, God wants help. God wants to help you be the you he made you to be. First thing here, mastering your mouth. All right, so you interested? That's the medicine. Let me warn you, you're going to start to take a little bit of this and your flesh will gag a little bit. That gag reflex, but it's worth it. It's worth it to take the medicine. So let's start. All right? I didn't say it'd be pleasant, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Mastering our mouth. The Bible says in Proverbs 10, verses 19 through 21, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. But he that refraineth his lips is wise. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. So Peter, you can't help but wonder, there's Peter saying, boy, there were some times where I ran my mouth and I'm not happy about it. Where he spoke first and thought later. Boy, James says this in chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. How quickly are we at just letting this thing fly? The Bible tells us there's a lot to learn about mastering this mouth of ours. A mouth under control. Wow, who would have thought how important that is? It's first on this list. Refrain thy tongue from evil. Carefully monitor the words you speak. Never speaking evil words, not harmful. Ask yourself, I'm about to say these words. Will they bring help to somebody? Will they bring healing to somebody? Are these gracious words? The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Do these words show somebody that they have value? Or do these words show that I value myself? Do these words enable somebody around me to know victory that the Bible wants them to have? Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace. You know, grace is how God enables us, right? There's a lot to grace. Pastor Olson talked about grace, teaching us denying ungodliness and worldly lust. The grace enables. How about you? When you speak, does the person who listens to you find enablement, encouragement? Listen, God can help you and he loves you very much. Do the people listening to you find help? Do they feel valued? Do they feel able to know the victory that God wants for them to have? Do they feel encouraged? Let your speech be always with grace. The Bible says, and his lips that they speak no guile. We must carefully manage our mouth. Not speaking guile. Not deceitful. How true is it what I am saying? Now, when we speak, we often try to guide people to a conclusion, right? We can't help ourselves. We as we speak to another person, we have the desire to guide them to a conclusion. The question is, the conclusion you're trying to guide them toward, is it for the benefit of them or the benefit of you? Are you manipulative as you talk with people? Or are you merciful and helpful? Interesting that the first ingredient for having a good life is mastering our mouths. And part of mastering your mouth, we know that our words flow from our heart. So part of mastering our mouth is making sure that we have a right heart. Because what's down here finds its way to what's here. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:23-24, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are all the issues of life. And then the very next verse, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Now I know when you go to the doctor, they can scan your forehead or look in your ear, but it still seems like when I go to the doctor and they want to assess my initial health, they're still putting the thermometer under my tongue. They can tell a lot about my overall health by checking my mouth. Isn't it interesting that spiritually it seems to be the same way? We can find out a lot about where somebody is spiritually by testing their mouth. What comes out our mouth is a reflection of what's in our heart to begin with. Matthew 12:34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. He says, keep your heart with all diligence. Keep it continually. Keep it vigilantly. Don't let bitterness get in that heart. Don't give it a place in your heart. Don't let jealousy, why do they have that? Don't let envy get in your heart. They shouldn't have that. They don't deserve that. Are you able to be happy when somebody gets something? Or, God, why are you blessing them? Why aren't you blessing me? Beware what creeps down into your heart. Beware unforgiveness. Doesn't it say in the model prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive as we forgive. Beware that unconfessed sin. Keep short accounts. Come often before the throne of grace. We should be there continually. Church member, we should be asking God to forgive us on a regular basis. Staying clean, a clean heart. From that right heart, right words will flow. And mastering your mouth. You want to have a life that you can look back on and say, oh, I just loved that life. Full of good days. Take seriously what comes out of here. Take seriously how your heart is doing. A froward mouth put away. Well, young men, and young ladies, I think I'm fine. I decided to run my mouth this way and I think it's fine. What does God think? Who cares what you think? What does God think? Perverse lips, put far from thee. Diverting people from the true intent. High-minded, those perverse lips, put them far away. This is a test of genuine spiritual maturity. James 3:2, it says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. A tongue under control reflects a life that is under control. A spiritual maturity, physically disciplined, but a tongue not under control, that reflects a life not under control. Spiritually immature and physically undisciplined. How are you with your mouth? Mastering your mouth. Secondly, detecting the detours. The second thing he said is eschew evil. Eschew evil. Eschew is one of those words we don't say very much, right? Eschew, gesundheit, right? Eschew evil. It means to avoid evil, deviate from evil, shun evil, detour around evil, detect the detours. Boy, Peter would have remembered the time that he was in the wrong crowd. And instead of him bringing the crowd up to where he was, he went down to where the crowd was. And Peter would say, oh, listen, eschew evil. There are some things to avoid in this life. Proverbs 22 verse 3 says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. I remember when so we have our buses out there and I have a CDL. I remember when I was getting tested for my CDL. I remember I was on the road. I was able to list all the things in the pre-trip and pass all the things in the range. And if I could just make it past the driving part, I will get my CDL. How exciting. And I'll be able to drive a Sunday school bus. So I remember the guy that was testing me, he said, all right, let me see you execute a lane change. And so, and I'm talking, I'm telling him all these things. Okay, I'm going to check all my mirrors and I'm going to, and I didn't realize it at first, but he wanted me to see if I would be so caught up in the moment that way ahead, about a block and a half up, in the lane I was getting into, there was a hazard. And he wanted to see if I would be so caught up in the moment executing this beautiful lane change that I would fail to see that up ahead there was a hazard. And I would need to see that and start executing another lane change to get back over so I could flow around it before getting right there and being on top of that hazard and possibly having a disrupted, hopefully not hitting it, but having a disrupted stopping there and trying to get. He wanted to see, would you get so caught up in the moment that you would fail to see the hazard up ahead. And praise the Lord, I can be that way. But praise the Lord, I was executing and I happened to look up and see, and I said, okay, well, up there, I'm gonna make this lane change and get over, but right away I'm gonna have to execute another lane change to get over, because up ahead this lane is blocked. And he smiled and said, that's exactly what I wanted to hear. You know, the Bible says that this prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. There are some things to avoid. There's some evil to stay away from. God makes a way of escape for us. There in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. There's a lane that you can slide into and get around that hazard if you'll look for the way of escape. God makes sure there's a way around. You hear what I'm saying? God makes sure there's a way around. And if you're paying attention, you can detect those detours to make that way of escape. But a lot of times, Christian, we're sinners and we're not interested in the way of escape. We like the sin. We want to be tripped up. Instead of looking for our way of escape, unfortunately, a lot of Christians are looking for their way of excuse. I'm going to give into this sin, but I've got my excuse all ready to go for why I'm going to give into this thing. And ultimately, bottom line, at the end of the day, we kind of blame God. Well, if he hadn't have allowed these circumstances to enter my life, I don't feel like I would be compelled to step into this sin and enjoy the pleasures that are there, but only for a season. But I feel like God, he's kind of to blame. But my Bible says that God is faithful. He makes a way of escape. And you and I are fleshful. We look for the way of excuse to enjoy that sin. And David in the Old Testament is saying, don't give in. Don't go after the Bathshebas of this life. Those are the things you come to the end of. And you look back and you say, oh, those are the times of regret. But the times where I eschewed evil, I stepped away from those things. I looked for God's faithfulness and I took that way of escape. Those were the good times of my life. So what hazards do we need to foresee and avoid? Boy, there are people who are bent to do evil. Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. There will be sinners that say, hey, come over here, come enjoy this. There are people to avoid as we eschew evil. Now, the book of Psalms is that the largest book in the Bible. It's the song book of the Bible. And so much comfort and so much we learn about God. But the very first verse talks about eschewing evil. The very first book of that gigantic book, the very first verse, Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There are people to avoid, people that are bent on doing evil. There are places where evil is promoted. We need to avoid those places as well. It used to be a lot of times those were physical places, but nowadays, a lot of those places are virtual places. It used to be you'd have to leave your home to go to those places. Now those places come to your home in the form of those smartphones or computer or things that will watch. Beware those video streaming services. Even as innocent, well, Disney Plus seems like a good one, so I just open up the screen and give it to my kids. There's some interesting things on there. I've enjoyed seeing some things on there, but there's garbage on there as well. I was reading about this week. They were saying, hey, there's a new show on Disney Plus called A Little Demon, about a girl who's the spawn of Satan. They think that's cute. the Antichrist. We got to be careful. Don't you ever just hand a screen to your children and say, well, just enjoy. You're enabling them not to eschew evil. The life that they would say, I want to love life. I don't want to see good days. You're taking that from them by taking evil places and handing it to them. The virtual world. There's some wickedness out there. Boy, we say, I plan to sneak off to these places and find my outlet, my escape. But you're making a choice. You're making a choice when you sneak off to these places you know you should not be. You're choosing not to have, not to take your medicine, not to have these, a life that you would love and a life full of good days. There are places to avoid. Proverbs 7, verses 6 through 8. At the window of my house, I looked through the casement and beheld among the simple ones. I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. Passing through the streets near her corner, there was a place he shouldn't have been. But he was going to pass through. He went the way to her house. There was a place he shouldn't have been, but he was going to go there anyway. Later on in that chapter, verse 22, he goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to go to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Boy, we think of Job. The first verse of Job, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Oh, may this church be full of men and women that fear God and eschew evil. Thirdly, do good. Do good. Fill up on faithfulness. It's not enough to avoid evil. We have to fill up those voids with goodness. Peter would have remembered that the happiest times of his life were those times where he was being used of God to help somebody. Some questions. Ask yourself, what I'm about to do, does it make me a better person, more pleasing in God's sight? Does this benefit people around me? Does it lift up Christ in their sight? And does this bring glory to God? 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And if the answer to any of these questions is no, step away from that thing and find something that says yes to all of these things. Now, Peter got to walk this earth with the Lord Jesus. Jesus did good, didn't he? Christ went around doing good. In Acts 10:38, it was Peter who got to talk to Cornelius and say, I got to walk this earth with Jesus. Can I tell you about him? He went around doing good. Oh boy, you want to have Jesus as a part of your life. And then fill up on faithfulness. Be like Jesus. In fact, Peter is the one who tells us in 1 Peter 2, verses 21 and 22, for hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Oh, the perfect example of somebody whose mouth was under control was the Lord Jesus. And he went around doing good. And of course, the Lord Jesus should be living through us, Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The last thing is pursue peace. Seek peace. The Bible says in Matthew 5, blessed are the peacemakers. And no, that's not talking about the handgun. You know, the peacemaker. There was the Colt single action army revolver handgun known as the SAA Model P Peacemaker or the M1873 was designed for the U.S. government service revolver trials of 1872 by Colt's Patent Firearms Manufacturing Company. It was adopted as the standard issue pistol of the U.S. Army from 1873 to 1892. So the peacemaker handgun, right? That's not what it's talking about. You know, you make peace by obliterating your enemies. that's a valid form of making peace. Someday God will come, the Prince of Peace will come, and he'll put down the armies of darkness, and there will be a peace as a result. But until that day, that's not the peace. We're not out to obliterate our enemies. We're talking about having the ability from God to de-escalate situations with good, godly kindness. Romans 12:21 tells us not to be overcome with evil, but to overcome evil with good. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers. Proverbs 26:21, as coals are to a burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Boy, there's flames of controversy. And some people come with more logs to throw on there, so the fire only gets bigger. But the peacemaker is one that takes a stick and starts knocking fuel away from that fire. Romans 5:1 tells us about the peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Corinthians reminds us that we have the ministry of reconciliation, where we try to tell people how they can have peace with God as well. That's the peacemaking that God wants us to be about. When we do these four things, a mouth that is mastered, we're detecting those detours, looking for God's way of escape. When we're filling up on faithfulness, doing good, following the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, in fact, letting him live through us, and pursuing peace, living a life that draws men to reconciliation with their Creator, talks about that 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Boy, the Bible has something good to say, doesn't it? He that will love life and see good days. We should get busy about these things. And of course, at the end, in verse 12, 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. Would you go ahead and stand together with your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Maybe as the Holy Spirit spoke to you, we asked him that he would. We asked the Holy Spirit, I'd like to think he answered that prayer and spoke to us in here. Saved person, in one of these areas, did the Holy Spirit show you an area you need to be working on? Let's take our medicine. It's worth it. Our flesh will gag just a bit at first, but it's worth it to have spiritual health. Master those mouths. Detect those detours. Are you involved in sin? Are you involved in sin because you've developed habits in your life where your eyes or your flesh is guiding you to look for those ways of excuse instead of taking those ways of escape that God wants for us? Are you filling up on faithfulness? Are you doing good? Are you letting the Lord Jesus live for you? Are you pursuing peace? But do you have peace because of salvation? And are you busy about that ministry of reconciliation, helping others to know they too can be justified? They can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you need to pray about that today. But possibly also someone in here, maybe you're not saved at all. This formula is for those that are saved. It isn't this life, if you're unsaved, that you need to be concerned with, but rather the life to come. Without salvation, you will spend eternity in a Christless place of torment. If you aren't saved, I would just encourage you to, would you walk this aisle? We have some counsel.